The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. We're starting where I want to start today. It's Professor Beth Olchar.
Oh, wow. I'm so flattered. Thank you.
How was your wrap-up of advising and registration craziness, Beth?
I don't have any advisees at the moment. Okay. So actually it was, I feel like, and every time I think I should come over and like volunteer to help you guys out, because I know how overloaded you are, but no, so easy enough.
It's the way of the world, but your courses are hearty and hale for the winter 22 semester. It's good news. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be doing, what, symbolic logic and what else next term?
Contemporary moral problems, so the abortion discussion, and honors ethics.
Nice. Well, that's going to be a nice touchstone there. That's great.
Yep.
Anything special planned for the honors ethics?
I hadn't been thinking so much about that as about the content. I mean, because the theories are going to be the same pretty much that we teach in moral problems, thinking about what I wanted to do there. Racism, Black Lives Matter, and policing and crime, all of those sorts of things.
Some light and fluffy topics to keep the students interested.
Well, yeah, the point is just to show this is amenable to actual rational analysis and not just your gut opinion or your religious teaching, right? There are other ways of thinking about these things.
Very good. Thinking is okay. Thinking is fun. Thinking is hard work.
Thought is subversive and free and revolutionary and dangerous.
Also those things. Speaking of revolutionary and dangerous, Professor Stephen Manning. It's good to see you, Stephen.
Good to see you.
What's the follow-up from the Carter book? What have you moved on to?
Ooh, the 24th volume of a Sicilian, Andrea Camilleri is the author. It's an Inspector Montalbano thing. It takes place in Sicily. Oh, wow. There are 28.
Oh, cool.
I just finished the 24th, but I've started, I recently started the latest Jonathan Franzen novel. I'm a big fan of Franzen. His latest one called Crossroads is out, and I'm in about 80 or so pages of it.
I've read him before. He's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, this is his fifth one, I guess. He writes one every once in a while. That actually, his first one was called The 27th City that he wrote in 88. And the picture of him in the back, it looks like he's one of our students. and then when I saw this, I said, well, 88, 98, 108, this is like 35 years old, this picture of him and the novel. So I think this is his fifth. I just love the way he writes, and I like his themes, and he's a controversial. He's the guy, you may remember, that Oprah picked one of his novels. I forget which one, as her book club, and he took exception to it that, oh, I can't be writing serious literature if Oprah put it on her list. And so therefore got in trouble with Oprah. I think she invited him on later. And anyway, I try to avoid all that stuff and just read the stuff. He's just an excellent writer.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Professor Mara Livesey is here. What's on your reading stand right now, Mara?
Oh, let me tell you. So what I just finished was the entire series Wheel of Time. It's a 14 book, just really excellent high fantasy. And I just shifted into reading Kindred by Octavia Butler as a part of the science, technology, and race learning community. It's intense, but I like her writing. I've read some of her stuff before. It's good.
And you're a George R.R. Martin fan too, right?
Yeah, but he will never publish again, ever. So I've kind of given up.
Now, Mara, do I have this right? Wheel of Time. I've been seeing commercials like crazy. I think it's going to be a series on Amazon.
It comes out on Amazon Prime. Josh and I are just losing our minds.
That's awesome.
Well, Drew and I will have to check it out then. Wheel of Time. Okay.
It's excellent.
And last, but most certainly not least, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. So what's in the hopper? What's your special project of the moment, Dave?
I am working on Ski-Doo at the moment.
Really?
So I will be drawing lots and lots of snow and Ski-Doos and snowmobiles and stuff.
So you might say that you're getting into horseless sleighs.
Mm-hmm. But some of these things are absolutely amazing. But I'm like, man, I got the NDA clamped all over me right about now, so I can't talk too much about it. But if you guys want to talk about good reading, right next to my desk.
Crap Taxidermy. Interesting.
It's an amazing book on horrible taxidermy.
That's great.
I mean, we're talking like amateurs who don't know what they're doing and you know what some people do with deer heads, and it's bordering on sacrilegious, almost defiling an animal to a certain degree, but then there's also something folksy about these people genuinely trying to do their best at taxidermy.
Very interesting. You could have taken that in so many different ways. I half expected you to hold up a book that said like the jet ski style guide.
It's a bunny crow?
Yes.
What is this, Island of Dr. Moreau? Or
some of these are just like, you know, this is like jackalope.
Oh, jackalope, sure.
And just
sure.
Weird things like that. And some people just don't understand like animal anatomy. And that's why, like, when I go to the Field Museum in Chicago, I'm absolutely amazed at how some of those people, you know, because they pretty much just skin the animal, but still takes some innate skill as far as like understanding anatomy to sculpt, you know, what's underneath. So, yep. Yeah, but some of these things in this book are so god awful. I mean, I admire the attempt, but some of these are pretty bad. That's all. So for those of you who are into cats.
Oh, no. The face. So.
That's not good.
Pretty sick. Okay, that's enough. Put it away.
I normally don't like the word unnatural, but that's unnatural. That's like splicing an elephant and a pot-bellied pig.
I mean, that's almost like crossbreeding like a dachshund and a Great Dane. It's like, it should never happen.
Okay, well, that is our transition. This is a program where you could send us questions regarding anything. However, there's a few things on the list of questions we will never read on the air. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send us the questions in a number of ways, emailing us at atp@udmerc.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Even though I think that you're going to regret me bringing these questions up. They're not as bad as that book, by the way.
Oh, nothing
it's
is.
It's just going to leave us with a grumbly tummy at the end of today's episode, because I have a set of questions from Professor Dr. Oljar's Honors Intro to Philosophy, written by student Fadi Koria, also in my classes this semester, and they are all about food.
Oh.
I think I may have mentioned food or cooking or something as a possible theme.
There we go.
Okay.
Food, food, food. Okay. What vegetable, by some, is called a courgette?
Zucchini.
Yeah, it's a zucchini. Nice.
Courgette.
Courgette.
That's what the British call it.
Or the French.
Mm-hmm.
But they call a filet a fillet, you know, which is really kind of annoying. So,
you know what? We need Prasad here right about now to just kind of like keep us in check with some of these things, like a biscuit.
He asked Dave at an MFA meeting if he could have one of his biscuits, and Dave said, they're called cookies. How long have you been in this country?
Well, I thought we were going to go down the aubergine route there, or the hardcore vert. Like, that really blew my mind. I'm like, we can just say green bean.
No. But hardcore vert are actually a specific kind of green beans.
They are.
And they're wonderful.
Yeah, they're very good.
Oh.
What is the shape of the pasta that goes by the name cioccioli?
Is it a shell?
It's a shell. Yeah, it is a shell. Beth's on fire. Woo!
Never heard of it.
Shell pasta. We had the ones that are shaped like tiny waterfalls last night. Aside from the fact that each individual one is like the size of a human hand, absolutely delicious.
These questions do come from Beth's students.
What was the original manufacturer of the Pringles potato chip in 1969? I believe this is more of a, I don't even know how to put it, like a drug company or a health company these days.
Johnson & Johnson.
It's a good guess.
Procter & Gamble.
It's Procter & Gamble, Stephen. Yeah, Procter & Gamble, P&G.
Wow. I just remember as a little kid, every time, you know, my parents got Pringles, I go, hey, did you guys buy tennis balls again?
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's that lovely packaging.
Something about sticking your arm in that greasy tube.
Mm. And then, I don't know if you guys ever heard, but the gentleman that invented Pringles, after he died, his family put his ashes into one of those tubes and launched it into space, I think it was.
Oh, that's right.
So there's something slightly creepy and morbid about that. But
is he the same guy who wrote the taxidermy book?
Probably. Sorry, Stephen. I know. I just ruined your dinner plans for tonight after looking at those pictures, right? I'm sorry.
We're now very suspicious of you, Dave.
Hey, profs, what's the biggest supermarket chain by number of stores in the U.S.?
Kroger?
It's Kroger. Yeah, it's kind of sad, but all modern capitalism gets us to two or three survivors, right? And then after that, there's usually only one or two. And Kroger is what it is. What can I say?
Cincinnati, Ohio's very own.
They're not in the West, though.
That's true.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
We have other chains.
Yeah.
There's a very common cut of steak that sometimes goes by the shell steak cut, but is more commonly known as what?
Top sirloin.
Mm-mm. Flank.
New York strip.
T-bone.
Tube steak. Oh,
I've heard like everything.
Filet.
You know what it says here? It's the Kansas City strip is what it is.
Okay.
That's a shell steak. Yeah. Two mentions of shells in the same question set. Things are getting off the rails already. What is meant by the term al dente when you're cooking in Italian?
To the tooth.
Yeah.
That's right.
Toothsome.
To the tooth.
Sticks to the walls just right.
Exactly. The perfect texture of cooked pasta that everybody waits until they taste that texture when they should take it out right before that, and then it will finish cooking. That's all I'm going to say. It's about as snotty as I get when it comes to cooking. In cooking, what is it called when you cut herbs or vegetables into very fine strips?
Chiffendale.
Chiffonade.
Chiffonade. But I'll take Chippendale with partial credit.
Chippendale.
Good thing to do with basil. You stack the leaves on top of them, kind of roll them into a cigar shape and then slice them.
Yep. That's the kind of, speaking of the other side of my cooking abilities, the kind of motor control I definitely don't have. When I see people doing that to like basil, I'm like, no way, man. Like, I can't handle that.
Yeah. That's why you buy a mandolin and then it does it for you.
Yes. And then you possibly, while your wife is 8 months pregnant with your second son, watch her chop off the top of one of her fingers and have to take her to the ER.
Yes. Or that.
Those mandolins, that's deadly, man. Like, you can have a gun in your house. It would be safer than those things.
What? You don't have a mandolin safe at the Mayo household?
But I wouldn't use one to slice basil.
So this is true.
I mean, potatoes.
Not basil. I think it was something else. I think it was like a potato or something.
Never basil.
That's a very well-known meme in the Mayo family, as I finally come home fairly calmed down from the ER. And I'm like, who's going to clean up this bloody kitchen?
Like I said, you need a mandolin safe. That's all in the new house.
It's a big deal because I know, honestly, it was one of the first conversations, no joke, that Beth and I had when we first met, because we were doing Ask the Professor. And there was something about women having a higher pain threshold than men. Mm-hmm. And then when you're pregnant, it's a totally different ballgame. And the whole deal was that Leslie was bleeding all over the place before she even saw she had cut herself, you know, and it just didn't register as pain in the same way that it would have.
Wow.
If your blade is very sharp, that's what will happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. What is the word that starts with the letter M, just like Matt? That is an Italian sweet wine, sometimes called a fortified wine.
Marsala.
Marsala, yes. How about a good chicken Marsala right now? That sounds delicious.
From Eddie's Gourmet over on Greenfield. Oh, be still my beating heart.
By just a few weeks, if you know your traditions of Detroit, this pop is the oldest soft drink in the U.S. It could have been Werner's, which came a close second by a few weeks. But it actually ends up being what?
Faygo?
Moxie? What? Oh, that's a Detroit
Town Club.
No, it's a national brand that just beat Werner's to be the oldest pop in the United States.
Hold on.
Coca-Cola? No.
No.
Some root beer.
See, I kept on thinking it was Moxie, but
mm-mm.
Dr. Pepper?
It says here it's Dr. Pepper.
Oh.
Who, by the way, according to a dad joke I told my students this morning, what kind of doctor is Dr. Pepper? A physician.
Oh.
I had to type it into the chat for them to get the full effect. Yeah, that's pretty brutal. Pretty brutal.
Yeah, they're going to evaluate.
Steven, I think I just passed a stone on that one. So
thanks, Fadi, for sending in those questions.
You're listening to Ask the Professor from University of Detroit Mercy. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
We've got another set of questions. It's just raining questions in Beth's Honors Intro to Philosophy. These are from Mia Kassar, and I paired them together for a reason, the culinary arts.
Oh,
so
boy.
We must leave this show with a grumbling tummy. We must.
And then fill it with frozen pizza, which is my plan.
Oh, what a great idea.
I got my mac and cheese on the stovetop right now, so.
I'll cook it first, you know, I won't.
One would hope.
Hey, professors, what's a nigiri? N-I-G-I-R-I.
Sushi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says, can you tell what type of sushi it is? Can you describe it?
One big finger long length piece, about $4 a piece.
Like a piece of fish.
Yeah. Delicious.
It says here, it's not a roll.
Yeah.
It's just a wad of rice that's topped with seafood.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. There are four vitamins that strawberries are very rich in. Can you name two?
K.
E.
I think we got it.
Oh.
They are in total B6, K, E, and C. And we hit two of those very, very quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say C.
Strawberries are a superfood. Strawberries and pumpkins. If that's all you ate, you pretty much would be completely all set.
Now, what's the thing about strawberries? Are they considered a fruit or a vegetable because the seeds are on the outside? How's that work again?
Something like they're not even a berry?
They're just the only fruit that has seeds on the outside, I think.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I knew there's something to it. So.
It used to freak me out when you ate them. It was like you were eating rocks because sometimes the seeds would be really hard. And I'm like, why am I eating this? But you get older, you know, your tastes change. The texture is quite pleasing now.
If they're fuzzy, don't eat them.
If they're white and fuzzy, don't eat them. Yeah.
Oh,
good call.
It's the winter warmth.
Oh, my gosh. Which country exports the world's most mangoes? 42% of the world's mango production is only from one country.
Mexico?
Mm-mm.
Puerto Rico?
Nope.
Either somewhere in Africa or somewhere in the Pacific.
Thailand?
Getting closer with Thailand.
Indonesia?
It's not Greenland.
Malaysia?
India.
It's India. Yeah, it's India. 42% of the world's mango production.
See, we just have to thank Mara for getting us geographically close, because the rest of us, we're going South America and all over God's green earth. So
I'm just going to come out and say it. I could take or leave mangoes. I don't know what to tell you. Like, there are certain fruits that I dislike and certain fruits that I love. And I've eaten dried mango and fresh mango, and it doesn't do anything for me. I don't know what it is.
Do you like peaches?
I love peaches. It's kind of weird.
But
huh?
Not mango.
I know. Isn't that weird?
Interesting.
Yeah, that's okay.
They're very close.
Yeah, they're really close.
What two ingredients, profs, are used to make meringue?
Egg whites, sugar.
Egg whites and sugar. You got it.
We watch the British baking show. We know all of this sort of thing.
Come on. Easy.
Absolutely. Can you make a meringue without egg whites in less than 5 minutes? No, that's not the next question.
It's called shaving cream at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. What's the name of the most popular dessert in Turkey, often topped with chopped nuts?
Baklava?
Yeah.
Baklava is what it says here. Yes. Little phyllo dough, little honey, and rose water for kicks.
Oh, that sounds good.
Sounds really good. Mm-hmm. What type of pasta translates from Italian as the little worms.
Where's Dan Maggio when we need him?
I don't know, like Bucatini?
Orzo?
Tubes, little worms. So it's going to be something twisted, right?
Fusilli?
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. No?
No, it's not. Fusilli is like the, oh gosh, I'm going to get it wrong, but it's like the staircases. Yeah, it's, yeah. That's something different. It's the one that starts with the letter V as in vest.
Vermicelli?
Vermicelli.
Ah, yes, that's right.
I mean, there's only so many like long, squiggly, tube-like things you can name pasta after. There's so many. We got the tongues, we got the worms, we got everything.
Matt, you know? I mean, come on. Yeah, the Italians had to take it from the Chinese and had to give it all these different shapes, you know? What was wrong with just ramen?
Absolutely nothing. I love ramen.
Me too.
It has so much salt in it that I shouldn't eat, and sometimes I just don't care.
Sometimes you just don't care.
Exactly.
Beth, before the end of the show, I'll talk to you about, there's a new ramen place that I found on the West Coast that makes, was I think, more protein than a steak.
Oh my gosh.
In ramen, so.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yes.
Professors, what am I describing? Due to its relatively low levels of moisture and very high levels of acidity, bacteria and pretty much all microorganisms have a very hard time making a permanent home out of this food that's said to never spoil.
Honey.
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 Absolutely.
I didn't know it was acidic, though.
It's pretty acidic.
Is it?
Pretty acidic.
Okay.
Yep. They need water to be able to make more of themselves. And when they get stuck in the goo, that's pretty much it at that point. So,
yeah. Oh.
I don't know if this is the best way for us to end this question set. Mia, thank you very much for
sending
them in. But pretty funny stuff. Do you know where they got the name for Spam? It actually is a portmanteau, but of what two words?
Shoulder processed.
Ham.
It's shoulder. Spiced ham.
Spiced ham.
Spiced ham.
What it is. Yeah,
nice.
That's exactly right.
I'll have your Spam, dear.
It's an Asian delicacy. Don't, you know, I mean, seriously, it's like,
oh my gosh.
It's delicious, actually.
I got to say, I've never not enjoyed Spam. That is for dang sure.
Okay, now, do you folks grill it or not?
You can.
Grilled Spam is good.
I don't do anything with it. Grill it? I don't even open the can.
I've never had it.
Beth, when you were in Washington, do you remember a place called Ruby Montana's? Is a novelty store out there?
I know one called Archie McPhee's.
Okay. Anyway, back in the late 80s, I was out there hiking and there was actually a Spam carving contest. I came in third, so.
Nice.
Two cans of Spam and one sharp knife.
All right, profs. We have another set of student questions. And I think it's probably best that we go. It's a little bit all over the map. I thought it'd be nice to cap off our show here today. We'll do this sort of lightning round style. See if we can get through all 10 in the time we have left here. We only have about 7 minutes left in the show. We'll see what we can do. What is the scientific name for the human jawbone?
Mandible.
Mandible. Very well done. What color is on the color wheel complementary to orange?
Purple? No. Orange is
green.
Oh no, it can't be purple. It has to be
hail to the
blue.
Yes.
Blue. Yeah. Sorry, I'm
is our answer.
I don't have my color wheel in front of me.
What was the first product that the Nike company put on the market?
Waffle, what was it? Shoes?
The running shoe.
It was a running shoe. Shoes. Yeah, it seems sort of obvious, but that's true. Yeah, it was a running shoe.
Off of the waffle iron.
On the periodic table, I don't know if Mara's going to sit out or not. What element is the symbol K?
Potassium.
Potassium. Oh, good. In Latin, it is kalium. Yes, that is correct. What is the lower region, the last few vertebrae of the spine generally referred to as medically?
Lower coccyx?
Lumbar?
What did you say, Mara?
Oh, I said lumbar.
Lumbar is what it says.
Oh, okay.
Here.
That's above the sacral, but yes, right.
Yep. What is a 2, the number 2, to the 5th power? What value is that?
32?
It's 32. Yeah.
Oh, nice. You must have done mental math.
I was doing it on my fingers too.
You need more fingers and toes? I mean,
that was awesome.
I am so proud of myself that I got that. I can't believe it.
Hey, I'll have to let Dan know. He's going to be really proud of you.
I always envision if we're doing this sort of question set and like Jeff Boats or people like Dan are on the air that even before I finish the question at 32.
Yeah, next. Go on.
I posted online that I was turning 47 and Jeff Boats posted, did you know that 47 is the last prime before the sum of the primes becomes the number 666 or whatever? And I'm like, I do now. He's like, oh, yeah, and happy birthday. Oh, that's so great. How about how tall is the average female living in the United States?
5'5".
Oh, my gosh, Mara, 5'4". Yeah, 5'4". Wow. You said 5'5". That's pretty solid.
Short people.
What year did the Disney movie Tangled, that's their take on Rapunzel, get released?
Ooh, that's like 3-4 years ago.
It's like 2014 or something.
2018.
At least 16.
It says here it's 2010. It was quite a while ago.
2010?
Yeah, 2010.
Well, no offense. They're cranking them out left and right, so it's tough to tell.
Well, that's... I just figure, you know, you have that stuff memorized, Dave, you know. professors, how many bones are in the human wrist total?
Technically, what, 2?
It's more than that.
10?
Getting closer. We'll give it one more shot. Stephen, Beth.
12. 16.
Come on, Stephen. Bring us home.
18.
No, for a second, I thought we were going to hit it spot on. It's 8. 8 bones make up your
okay, because bones. I'm thinking it's the radius and ulna and all the little doodads, right?
Little bits and pieces.
That's the forearm.
Okay.
The radius and the ulna are in the forearm.
So right. When does the... okay.
This guy's like, I use these bones every day. I must know their names.
These original parts.
Let's end with something that is in Stephen's wheelhouse. He'll get it right off the top of his head. What was the year that Abraham Lincoln first got elected to office?
Oh, 18 something, right?
Correct.
56?
56?
That's what I thought.
I'm thinking that the student might have meant when he first became president of the United States, which would have been what?
1860?
It says 1861. Does that make sense?
He took office in 61, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
It's because of the weight, you know.
But he was a senator before.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh, professors, we just did 3 sets of student questions and you just knocked it all out of the park. But I'm afraid we're out of time. The time has come to say goodbye. Dave.
See ya.
Mara.
Goodbye.
Stephen.
Bye.
And Beth.
I am very proud of my students.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.